It talks about, oh, actually, it's 97 in your book. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. So this is just going to, the thing about compulsive eating is it's not necessarily my problem, it's my solution. And so just to give you an idea what it was like for me when I compulsively ate, this is what it did for me. When I compulsively ate, I knew a new freedom and a new happiness. Did you? It's like, When I compulsively ate, I didn't regret the past nor shut the door on it. All is good in my world. When I compulsively ate, I comprehend the word serenity for a little while, and I knew peace while I was compulsively eating. And when I compulsively ate, no matter how far down the scale I went, I could see how my experience could benefit others. All of a sudden, I became a genius. Oh, I have confidence now. Blah, 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 blah. When I compulsively ate, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappeared. When I compulsively ate, my whole attitude and outlook upon life changed. All of a sudden, I'm feeling like, I can do this. When I compulsively ate, fear of people and economic insecurity left me. So what happens when we follow these instructions on how and when to work a step, when we make our first amend, we go to the person, and it says that we go to the person that we hated. And you notice that it's past tense. That means I don't hate people anymore. I may not, you know, I may like some more than others, but I know that they're just not doing what I want them to do. That it's something that God's going to have to remove. Today, I just know it's not true. We're all God's children. There are no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. God only has children. And part of why I get to recover is to be kind to his children to the best of my ability. Do I fall short? Of course I do. I'm selfish. However, if we come with the willingness to be practitioners, we will continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's a promise. We continue to develop. That's why if someone does something different than us, and what happens when we go through these steps, we also, and we start to have this connection, then we have the traditions. And the traditions teach us how to live amongst each other. And they're spiritual in nature as well. And that's how we can come together in unity, and that's... Actually, I'm jumping ahead, and I'll come back to it if we have time. But in our tradition, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. So when I do the steps, my selfishness is put aside, and I need the fellowship. The fellowship is not a bad thing. It supports me. And that's where I have to drop self. So when we're doing this program, and we're developing and we're growing in understanding and effectiveness, that's how we can love each other, because someone may have a misunderstanding. Someone may be doing some things that's like, that's oddball to me. But if they continue showing up and continue it with the willingness to do what they were asked to be done, they'll be okay. I mean, there have been many times where, like, I don't know why that person did that. You know, snapped or something like that, or said something. But, you know, if I keep doing this thing, we'll all be okay. Because we're all developing, we're all growing. And, you know, there's times when I've sponsored people and I was like, ooh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I talk it over with my sponsor and go, yeah, next time you should do this a little bit better. That's why we don't yappity-yap. And oftentimes when someone talks about some other sponsor, they usually have it wrong or misunderstood the whole deal. So you don't want to go into all that. It's a waste of time. That's why it goes to our fifth tradition of where our primary purpose is. And so you just ask God for the willingness to refrain from that. And that way that you can continue to focus on what the main objective is without all that other crap. And I'll come back to that part. Remind me. But, okay, so we'll go, okay, that's what I'll do. So we make our first amend, and this is what happens. We will be amazed before we're halfway through. And if I'm not amazed, that means I'm not halfway through yet. Keep going. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Again, this is a promise. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We just read that. We're not going to regret the past, nor wish to shut the door of it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We'll suddenly realize God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They're being filled among us, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. Again, in my step seven, I'm in either way. Sometimes my financial insecurity is gone. Sometimes it's not. But I continue to commence on this way, and I'm all in. They will materialize if we work for them. These aren't guaranteed. It's if we work for them. So I'm not guaranteed to have this if I just sit back and do nothing. I'm going to have to take some actions. And the thing is that, at least for me, they were not natural actions. To spend time to help someone when I, you know, my favorite TV show's on? No. To listen to you instead of me going, oh, let me tell you, my problems. They're not guaranteed. And our step nine is the wreckage of the past. And so when we move on to our step 10, it's the wreckage of the present. And so I'll read the full thing at this point. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory. We're on page 97. That's where your step 10 is, and it's 84. So we continue to take personal inventory 4 through 9 and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So there it says, as we clean up the past, step 9, we do step 10. We've entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. In other words, my job is to be maximum service to those around me. This is not an overnight matter. So it means I'm going to develop. It should continue for a lifetime. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That means all the time. Continue. If I don't grow, what do? I go. When these crop up, we ask God to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. We make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So what that means, love and tolerance of others, the tolerance means, that's our code at this point, and tolerance means it's without the intention to change. So I turn my attention, and it's not because I want you to change. It's because I'm here to do the job that he assigns, to be a maximum service to others. I plant the seed, and God makes it grow, or not. So the results are not mine, but I'm ready to step up at all times to the best of my understanding. And this is what happens. We cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. And so when we're talking about fighting, it's the obsession is this, I shouldn't. I do it, no, I don't. You stop, it goes away. That's the obsession. I shouldn't. Yeah, maybe. By this time, sanity will have returned. So notice that my sanity's returned to me. But now through this connection with Source. So a lot of things come back through Source. Not through me as Source. For we'll sell them, and how do I know the difference? I'm constantly willing to do this. And because of the years of thinking I was working a program and I wasn't, I do these things because I want to go, okay, am I still doing it? I'll take the call. I'll do the 10th step. I'll send the evening review. I'm still willing. Okay. So, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We'll seldom be interested in compulsive eating. And that's what's pretty, that was my experience. Some people do, and I respect it, some people, part of their recovery, they needed to give things up. That was not part of my recovery. What happened for me is I lost interest. Just like those foods aren't intriguing. They're not sexy to me anymore. They're just not interesting. And it's the same thing that happened with my sponsor. She didn't go, I cut all this out. But she goes, you know, today I just don't have an interest. And so that's what happens when we take the actions. And if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. And the reason I recoil is because I know exactly what to do when I'm being selfish and when I'm being dishonest and when I'm afraid. Because I have, what happens is this step 10 becomes automatic pilot. And in the beginning, I did a lot of 10 steps. So therefore, I was very busy helping others because I had a lot in there. And we react sanely and normally. And we find that this has happened automatically. And that's what my experience was, like the spiritual experiences that they promise. It just kind of happened and I didn't even realize it. And I'm moving on to the next thing. Well, this is like a huge miracle. And, you know, I'm just going, oh, that's cool. Okay, let's keep going. So, but it happens just poof in timing. And it's usually when I totally let it go. And I'm like, okay, you know, whether I get this or not. And then I get it. I'm like, wow, that's cool. All right, well, let's keep going. We will see that our new attitude towards compulsive eating has been given us without any thought or effort. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're neither fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. I can go to Starbucks now. It used to be on my trigger list. Oh, do you have Starbucks? I remember all those years I'd walk in Starbucks and if I smelt it, I was going to the monster was going to make me go eat things. And today I can go into Starbucks because it's part of my job. I take drinks to doctors. And so I can go in there and I'm not tempted. It's not even, and we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality. That's the best thing right there. That's the best way to describe what this feels like. I'm neutral. When the obsession's been removed, it's like, there. And, you know, sometimes in the beginning, it might be kind of scattery. It might just be for a second. But if you keep taking actions, it'll be for 2 seconds. And then it begins to be a way of life. Safe and protected. I'm not on guard. I'm not waiting for, where's that thing that's going to trigger me? I'm safe and protected. We haven't even sworn off. Instead, the problem's been removed. It does not exist for us, and we're neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience, and that is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So I have this wonderful, beautiful stuff, but remember, a price has to be paid. And it's not that bad. I mean, you know, the hoop is a big hoop, but it does mean that I have to follow some principles. But you start to kind of, you know, but it's not too hard of a thing. Towards sponsors, I'm looking at my notes here. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. Laurels means past accomplishments. So when I go, oh, I did this, I'm good. We're headed to trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. I started this meeting, I did this, I graduated. No, nope, that's trouble. I still continue to work with that person, that newcomer. And a girl that I've worked with for a long time, she goes, oh, you still work with newcomers? I'm like, get out of here. Of course I do. Yes. So we're not cured of compulsive eating. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Every day. And the subtle foes, compulsive eating is a subtle foe. So the excuses I do and I say, so I don't have to be helpful. And I love the light analogy. And by the way, I didn't come up with these. I'm borrowing, you know, master regurgitator. But I love this analogy too, just to reiterate the importance of step 10. So you have your car, and a bird comes along and poops on your windshield, and you don't clean it. Then the bird comes by and poops again. If you don't do this, then it starts to cake if you don't clean. And then before, what happens is you have a big windshield full of crap that's now crusty and hard because you haven't cleaned it. So now you can't see. That's what happens when we don't 10-step. So going back to every day, we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. Constantly. And when I'm not sure, I'm pretty clear if I start helping a compulsive eater, we can start there. So there's times when I'm like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this next little situation. But you know what? I'm going to help a compulsive eater. And an intuitive thought comes in, and the problem is answered. We exercise our willpower along this line. All we can wish. It's a proper use of the will. So notice that my willpower comes back. But it's the proper use of the will, which is my willpower is connected to the source that takes care of all my problems. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, that means I'm clicking along, keep doing this thing, click, 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 even when I don't want to, click, click. If we have carefully followed directions, we've begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. That flow is that intuitive knowledge, that intuitive guide. The great reality within. It was always there. Always. But we didn't know it. We weren't tapped into it. We maybe believed in it somewhere out here, but didn't know how to tap into it here. To some extent, we've become God conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. And another part in the book that I absolutely love, because it explains myself and my misunderstanding of this program for many, many years. And it's in the chapter, The Family Afterwards. And it's on page 130 in the English and 137 in the Danish. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childishness of it. This dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. We have come to believe He would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with Him, but our feet firmly planted on the earth. That is where our fellow travelers are. That is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. What I love about this program is that it takes what I have in the sky and it brings it down to here. So I'm trudging this thing. I'm in the trenches. Because what I used to do is I loved spirituality, and I loved having my head in the clouds, and I'd have all these insights, and I'd do nothing with them. I want to keep them to myself. And what we do, this whole thing, the purpose of why we get to recover is it goes out. And that's the only way I get to keep this. Otherwise, I'm in the clouds. And I'm not helping the children that are down here. And I help God's children, God helps me. And it comes through actions. So step 11, suggest prayer, or back at 85, and that's 99. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy in this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite, valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. And you have all these questions in here. Then we have on awakening. And really, this retire at night thing, I do it nightly just to show God that I'm willing. And at the end of the day, I know I'm doing this instead of compulsive eating. At the end of the day, I know I'm doing this instead of, you know, tearing somebody else down to make myself feel better. And so, yeah, there have been many times I'm like, yes, yes, no. I do it because showing God I'm willing. But if something I missed at step 10, I have my evening review to put it in there. I email it to my sponsor. It doesn't say it in the book, but it seems to, we do it, and I have people send me their evening review. Then we have an upon awakening. Oh, did you have a question? Does someone have a question? Okay. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. The only time in the book that it gives us permission to consider the future is right here. And it's only 24 hours. So when my alarm goes off, I consider then until the next time my alarm goes off. That's it. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. It's so easy to wake up and to get into work and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I got to do this, I got the kids, I got the da. It's easy to do that. That's why when we wake up, the world is a selfish world, right? I mean, we're kind of set up to, you know, get what you want. You're all in there for yourself. I mean, basically, you know, good job. You're top of your class. I mean, so when we wake up, we ask that it be divorced because we're on a different plane at this point. And we're going to do better when we say, okay, I want to be divorced of selfish, self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Self-seeking is the things I do to make myself look better. So, you know, when I'm trying to be the martyr or the victim or the savior or the protector, the things, it's a manipulation to make myself, I'm trying to help God out and I'm trying to make myself look better. So a lot of times when I'm trying to manipulate what people think so I look better, I'm in self-seeking motives. And we ask that those be divorced. And under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. So I still have to make the decisions at work. I still need to pay the bills, because after all, I do have a brain to use. But I ask immediately that they be divorced from this motive. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So wrong motives, it's not about what I can take, but it's about what I can give. Literally. Then we have a prayer for the day. This is the third one. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here's where we ask for an inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle, and we're often surprised how the right answer comes after we've tried this for a while. We may not be good at this initially, but we keep doing it anyway. And what used to be a hunch or an occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. This is how I begin to feed myself in a good way. Not because I have the ability to, because I don't. But as I strengthen this intuitive mind, there will come a time and place where I go, I'm not really interested in feeding myself things that make me sick, that hurt my stomach, that make my blood sugar go all over the place. It becomes a working part of the mind, not because I'm going, I shouldn't eat those things because they trigger me. It's because there's an intuitive mind of, I can't be useful. I'm not interested. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking wills, time past, be more and more in the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. Sometimes we make stupid choices, is what that means. Sometimes it's like, whoops, I could have sworn God wanted me to do that. We're still going to have bad days. I might have a day where I could have fed myself better. But if I'm keeping this conscious contact with this higher power, I am promised to be okay. And that's where, if I know my protégés are doing this thing, and they go, I ate this, I'm not going to go, that's bad, you just relapsed. It doesn't mean that they continue to eat in the same way, because if they're wrapped up in that, they're selfish and they can't be helpful. But so many times I've heard like, oh, this substance, and they want to really focus on that. And I'm like, okay, you know what to do. But they really wanted to focus on this. And I did too. Oh, it must have meant I ate this ingredient. It must mean this and this. My sponsor was like, go help somebody. Shut up. Really? Are you tired of talking about this? I am. Move on. And when we're in the solution, we go, you know what? I need to move on. And gradually, you're not going to do that. This is not like, fat serenity, whatever they call that, or, oh, I continue to realize. It's not about that. So that's where the naysayers go, oh, see, so you keep relapsing and you're doing the pro. No. We have bad days. But as you continue to grow in this thing and you follow directions and you continue to take actions, that goes away. It does. Sometimes gradually. I don't know a compulsive eater that can do it like boom. I just don't. Some people do. It wasn't the case for me. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful, and we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we're no longer running the show, and humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, Thy will be done. We were then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, and self-pity and foolish decisions. So when I'm living on this, thy will, not mine, be done, I'm not going to make stupid decisions when it comes to feeding myself. We become much more efficient. We don't tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. We compulsive eaters are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. But that is not all. So the thing is that we're not disciplined. It says it right here. That's why I have directions to follow. It's not because I follow a meal plan, because that's not what this is about. It says, it doesn't say, you know, you're undisciplined, so, you know, you're going to have to use some human effort. It says, let God discipline you in the simple way that they've outlined. You do this in the morning. You do this in the, you do this in, you, it's real clear. And I'm reading exactly what they tell me to do. But that's not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. There are three places where faith without works is dead. I keep mentioning this. Faith without works is dead. That's where we take the stuff up in the sky from heaven or bliss and we bring it down to earth. And it's trudging. It's worth it, but sometimes it is like, oh my gosh. Sometimes you get bitched out. You're dealing with sick people. Sometimes people don't appreciate you. You know, if I haven't been screamed at in a while, I'm like, man, I must be resting on my laurels because I haven't been bitched out in a while. How dare you? You say da 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 da. No, it's okay. But it tells us that practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from compulsive eating as intensive work with other alcoholics or compulsive eaters. Immunity means it does not happen. And I know this works. That if you're doing this, this, and this, you're not going to compulsively eat. And I know if someone is, they're probably missing this. And the more you sponsor, you can kind of tell when someone's having a bad day, when someone's not doing this. It's a big difference. And it works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other compulsive eaters, not my message. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they're very ill. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is not an experience you. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you. We know you will not want to miss it. That is so true. You don't want to miss this. It's awesome. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot of our lives. It's pretty, it's incredible when you see things, and that's what I mean. I do this, or my spiritual experiences are happening when I saw it happen to other people. And I mean, just the cool things that happen in other people's lives. We have one girl that was a diabetic. And through applying these principles, she became very clear, and it was a gradual thing, how to feed herself in a good way. She couldn't get pregnant. She couldn't. She was 300 pounds. She was having all sorts of problems. As a result of working this program, she's having a baby. It's just, you know, you just see these pretty cool things that you see people take on this new existence and this new life. You know, another gal, you know, there's people all over the states, all over the world, that are taking this message. And, you know, sometimes they're met with a lot of opposition, and they do it anyway. And then what happens is that one person who just starts bawling when they carry this message to them, they're like, I've been waiting for you. That's something you don't want to miss. And so it's not uncommon that there's, you know, a lot of people have other solutions to other problems, and that's fine. And there are many times when it's like, why am I doing this? And right when I'm like, God, I show up every Tuesday night and it's just me. And or someone comes in and they're like, yeah, you know. And then that one person comes in and it's like, this is why I've been here. And it's like, man, what if I had missed this? It would suck. There's a part in the book I'm trying to find. Tell them exactly. The 12th step is going to tell you exactly what to do. There's a great part in here, if I can remember exactly. But it talks about... There's a part in here, and then I'll open up for questions. It talks about when someone's not sincere. It's like, don't waste your time. So here it is. So don't be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another compulsive eater and try again. You're sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing the man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny other compulsive eaters an opportunity to live and be happy. And that's where, if I know that I can't help someone, I let them go.
Page, please.
What?
Page.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Page 96 and page 108. And what I have written at the top of this in my notes, wasting time with fools. There have been times when, you know, in my own fellowship, you know, we had drama stuff going on, and I'm like, God, oh, this sucks. Because there's going to be those times. Someone relapses and someone says that it'll... And you know, I go from one meeting, and I'm like, I got to find somebody who's desperate. And I go right to a place to find someone who's dying from this thing. And that's why we're here. And that's all that matters. And when I find myself getting into all that blah, 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 I'm like, this is why I'm here. And the rest of it doesn't matter. And what other people think, who cares? It's none of our business. So, I think that's all I'm going to go with on here, but I have your questions, so I'm going to go through some of the questions here. Okay, so how much do you control if your sponsees do their steps right, if they really understand the steps, and if they pray their prayers, and so on? So I have a few guidelines that, you know, this is what I do, do this and this. And then let's say that they're still having trouble. Then I'm like, maybe you need to ramp this puppy up, go to some wind-up joints. And usually what you can tell is that it's not working. The results are direct in the actions that we take. And if someone is not having, you know, a good time with this, and it's different when someone is having, you know, there are a lot of things that once we remove the obsession, I mean, I've had people, their people died and they're going through grief. I've had people have medical conditions that come up. But if they're following the directions, I can help them. And so it doesn't mean that we're going to be skipping around. We're still going to have life, but we have a solution. And as long as they're able to do what it's said in the book here, and they follow my directions, then I know they're going to be okay. But what starts happening is I can kind of tell, I can sense it. I can usually tell when I'm like, yeah, they're getting sick, and I know they're not doing something. And all of a sudden it starts getting really hard for them to get on the meeting, and it's really hard to be helpful. Then they start getting argumentative. And it's obvious that they've probably, what has happened is they forgot something in 10, 11, 12. They're not connecting with their power. They're not 10-stepping. So something's going on in there that they're not doing. And I can't figure that out for them. They're going to have to, it's up to them. But it becomes very obvious when someone is holding something back. And this program requires rigorous honesty. So usually how I go about this, I can usually pick up on it. There was one time where I was completely surprised. I went, whoa. I mean, I could kind of sense it, but, and it's probably one time I actually got my feelings hurt because usually I don't. I'm like, yeah, but it surprised me. Usually I can kind of see it coming, and then I'll make it real clear that I'm like, man, if, and these are some of the things that I say, it sounds like you have a better idea on how to work this program. Sounds like you have a better idea on how to be sponsored. Why don't you go try that? But if you aren't going to follow my directions, I just can't help you. And I know that's like heresy to some people. But that's how I was raised. So that's how I do it. Being that some people continue to work with people. And I take this as a fact that this is it's a deadly disease. And if you're not willing, and it's not like it's not a matter of banging someone over the head, they interpret it as that when they're spiritually sick. Because it becomes like that when they're not doing what they need to do. And so, you know, there have been times with my own sponsor, she'll say, wow, it sounds like you have a better idea on how to work this program. So, maybe I need to back it down a little bit. And it's usually my pride and my ego. So, does that answer that? Yeah, I'll go through them and then if you have, okay. Would you be able to do without meetings? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's about that compulsive eater. But I need places to carry the message, and so meetings are very helpful that way. But I don't go to discussion meetings because I get real sick. I start to get judgmental. I start to get like impatient. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's just not do that. So I go where they study the solution and where I can find a newcomer and approach them. So that's just how I roll. And I know a lot of people that have to do the same thing. I remember at one point I asked my sponsor, "Is it okay if I just spend my time with people that have to do what I have to do in order to survive?" She's like, "Yeah." Anyway, I came to OA late in my life, and I'm retired from work. Question, how do you make amends to people you have not seen in 30 years? What about dead people? Dead people, I've known, I haven't had to do a dead person. I've known of people writing a letter and going to where they're buried and reading the letter to them in that way. And so I make amends to people that I haven't seen in the same exact way that I with people that I have seen. Usually what I do, and Facebook is great to get in contact with people, usually I'll send a note. I have an amend that I need to do with a guy, and I sent a note, hey, would it be okay if we could meet for just a short time? I'd love to. Actually, I told him, I said, you know, I owe you an amend. I forgot about that. I did say, you know, I'd like to meet with you and make an amend. Is that possible? And he agreed, so that's going to happen. You can send a note, say I'd love to meet with you. You can tell him you have an amend, or you say, look, can I just have 5 minutes of your time? What do you do when people meet you with anger and resentment, and if no one calls you within OA? What do I do when people call me with anger and resentment? I guess it kind of depends. I often say Well, there's a solution for that. I'd be happy to help you if I, you know, if that could be helpful, let me know. And you know, I've had people, I just started a AM meeting and I had someone just chew my ass out. And, anyway, on the phone line and, you know, at some point she thought I was making fun of people in OA, and that was not what was happening. I was making fun of myself, and, because she didn't understand the 10 step. And so anyway, you know, I just kept repeating. And then at some point I'm like, this person's spiritually sick. When we back people up in the corner, they're spiritually sick. They can lash out. It's not uncommon. I did it. So, you know, eventually I just said, you know what? You can just hang up. Just hang up. I mean, I'm causing you so much pain. Just hang the phone up. So, anyway, yeah, usually I don't engage in it to the best of my ability. And just kind of, and another thing that I use is, I'm sorry you took it that way. That's not the way I meant it. And if I have harmed them in some way, of course, we know what to do there. I owe them an amend. I could have tempered my words with kindness. Okay. Or if no one calls you within OA, is that like the fellowship? It's okay, because it's my job to approach them. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It's not personal. That's when I start creating conspiracies in my head. And that's why I need a 10 step. I think that this and this and this means this and this and this. And usually my sponsor goes, no, it doesn't. So all that conspiracy stuff or taking things personal, more than likely it is not true. So my job is my tradition 5, to help that person that's suffering. So if I'm getting wrapped up in that, and I'm thinking about it and I'm worrying about it, I 10 step it, and then I resolutely turn my attention to someone I can help. And that's how a fellowship builds about you. You're helping people that are desperate. If people aren't desperate, they have a solution, then I don't need to waste my time with them. They have a solution. That's fine. Okay. I relapsed in step 4. Shall I start over again from step 1? I think it kind of depends. But the thing is that you haven't been given the solution yet. So I don't know if relapse is a correct way to go about that. I'd see, like, relapse from what? Sugar? I would have to ask, like, okay, or if we're talking like, you know, you went off the rails. Well, of course, you don't have a solution yet. And I know a lot of people would be like, no, you're supposed to be abstinent first and then you do this. Well, well, if someone can't be abstinent, guess what? I mean, that's what we do. We relapse. That's compulsive eater for you. So what the hell are they going to do? Die? No, let's go through this thing. And if you can follow directions, you're going to be okay. But if you can't, then, you know, keep eating until you get humbled. I don't know what to do for you. I don't want you to do that, but I can't help you. But if you can follow the directions, top to bottom, da-da-da, call me at this time. I mean, it's not too hard of terms. Top to bottom. Do your fears. Who's your harm? You could do it in an hour. We could do it right here. We do your 5th step like that. Okay, now spend an hour with God. Can you do that? If you can do that, you're going to be okay. So, how do you, how have you done all your 9 steps? No. I'm still working on them, a majority of them, but I still have a couple of them to do, and also store clerks, people on the phone that I yelled at. I don't know their names, so I'll never get it done. But when God brings them to, I will continue. I will, you know, do it when the opportunity happens. Do you make the traditions with your do I work the traditions with protégés and how? That's a great question. Great. So that's the thing, the purpose. So we take our people through the steps, and we teach them the traditions as well. And basically our tradition one is like our step one in that we give up self. And that's where, and it's about unity. And I remember, there are times recently where I wanted so badly. This person was talking about this, and I'm like, I know this situation. I wanted so badly to say something. And I didn't. And I'm like, God, I wanted to. And anyway, I remember talking to Robin about it, and of course, 10-stepping it. And I didn't say something fully. But I kind of was like, it was kind of like out of the corner. I wanted to so badly just to say an opinion of what I thought about something else. And immediately my sponsor said, no, that's your tradition one. Give it up. I'm like, crap. Okay. So, two is a solution here, like our two, that for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, and that's God. As he may express them in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not sever, do not govern. So it's God via the group conscience. God via. And then our 3 through 11 is the actions that we take, real specific actions that we take in our group. And this is what happens. The results are, in tradition 12, that anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. So we have a spiritual experience as a unity, that it's principles. And there have been people that I've had major run-ins with, or it was really nasty when I sponsored them and they went to another sponsor and that sort of thing. And we can function together because we know it's about principles. And that's where ego is just left behind. Even if they've hurt my feelings or I hurt their feelings. If there's been harm, that's what the amends are for. If it's just been in my head, that's a 10-step. But if I haven't done anything that's harmful, then I don't go to them. That's the other thing about amends. In our 10-step, we run it past our sponsor because we may not have done a harm, but I've done this before where I wanted things to be cool between me and another member. So I went and I made an amends, but I didn't have a sincere desire. Instead, I wanted a desire for us to be cool. So I made an amend for this thing, and I thought for sure that she was going to go, that was so big of you. Wow, you're just amazing. And instead, she was like, uh-huh. And I literally was like, and? And she didn't. And I'm like, I know your sponsor. And I had this thought, like, your sponsor's really good. And you're incredible. And I just knew. And, you know, I go back to my sponsor and I go, you know what? I hate this person even more. And she goes, you didn't have a sincere desire. Your motive was off. That's you. That is on you. And it was. Because it wasn't sincere. I just wanted things to be cool. So sometimes I might be uncomfortable with some things. And, you know, perhaps I did. We're sensitive people. We are. It says that in the book. But, you know, again, we let it go at our tradition one. And the more we follow the traditions, and let's not forget what our first one is, which is, our primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. It's the single purpose. So when I start getting confused and all that, what do? That newcomer is like gold. It's like, you are my answer right now. Because right now, all these people are pissing me off. And I'm making it sound so much worse than it really is. It's not that, you know. I love my people. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Good. How long have you been in LA?